Hello, freaking nerds, and welcome to Hot Goss with Trash, the podcast where we bring in sweet, true facts, and we trade them around like they are dirty little pieces of gossip. We rate all the facts on a scale of colder than the ice age to hotter than bet and anyone on the L word. I'm Chloe. Oh, you know what? I should say, the way that we rate them, the points, it doesn't even matter. What does matter is that all of us, guest always included, are hot. Extremely hot. I'm Chloe. I had my bike stolen this week and then within an hour and a half found my bike and bought my own bike back for more than the man bought my bike from when it was stolen. But I'm grateful to have it back.
I'm glad you got it back. Wild story. I'm Lindsay, and I once stole a hat for 10 seconds because I tried it on in a shop when I was 6 years old and then walked out the shop wearing it with my mum. She was like, get back in there. I was like, okay, I'm sorry. I wasn't trying to steal it. It was just a momentary lapse of joy.
That's the entirety of your life of crime.
I'm a villain.
My name's Shem. I was cycling down the West Side Highway and then I saw a man running, like holding a purse, and then the man behind him going, stop that man! And like chasing after him, like a classic scene from a movie. And I was cycling right by the purse man and like I could have like put my arm out and like done like a clothesline type wrestling maneuver, but I didn't have enough information to see who was who and who was the real criminal involved. So I just let them go by. It's like complex. I feel like there's nuance that I can't detect.
It's so true.
I'm Kate Sisk, and my fun fact that's on the stealing theme is that my best friend growing up, he used to steal from CVS, and he would steal candy and stuff like that, and I would always get so mad and tell him to put it back, and he would never put it back. And now as an adult, I think that was probably right and good. Steal from CVS. Making money off of Big Pharma. They can lose a Twizzler or two.
They can lose a Twizzler or two.
Oh my god. Well, I'm glad you said that, because my father is Mr. CVS and you're going to jail.
Please, Mr. Stephanie.
No. Don't even try to say no. Wow. Our guest is a communist, maybe.
You even wrote this down, which is the most exciting part.
I wrote it down, so that way it's in my head and I don't even have to look. My guest is truly one of the funniest people. They make me laugh more than anyone. They're a stand-up comedian. They're a co-host of the podcast We're Having Gay Sex. Please welcome Kate Sisk to your ears. Woo!
Thank you for having me.
It's a reserved crowd today.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
We're excited.
So excited. I feel like we've been bothering you for so long to just talk to us.
I keep wanting to do it. You know what? I've had a very blessed summer of having some time with family and with my partner, you know, taking some time off. So I appreciate you guys being so patient with me.
That sounds like the right way to live, mm-hmm. For sure.
I've just learned that's an option. So. Oh no!
Shem, wait, no, come back. Shem has dropped his mic.
He's got a Hawaiian shirt on.
Wait, Shem, that's my shirt. Speaking of Shem, would you bring our first fact?
Wow, okay. That means I have to reach over to my iPad and go. It's like, so you're all familiar with the friendship paradox?
No.
Right. This is.
Please, I have questions.
Questions already.
This is
an interesting
why...
trivia to say to some dear friends of yours. I'm bracing myself.
So you're friends with me, and yet I'm like this, the friendship paradox. The friendship paradox is like a scientific study or like a piece of research that your friends normally have more friends than you do. So like it's like you all have like a friend who is like way more popular than you are, and you might have like, not you, the people in this room, you're very popular, but like the average person might have like 10 friends, and then there's no one friend who seems to have like 300 friends. And that's like a classic friendship paradox that scientists have like studied when they're looking at like social interactions. New research indicates that it's not actually correct or more an accurate model, and that there's a more nuanced version where your friends, like mathematicians studying it have said that rather than just having more friends than you, they're actually more popular, earn more money, and are better looking. So like there's
see, your tone indicated it was going to be like, actually, you've all got approximately the same friends. And then it was like, bam!
Yeah, there is an intentionality to my comedy. Sometimes I know what I'm doing.
Well, it ripped my heart out.
Fully intended. But yes, it's like that. And this is like research from summer of this year. They've been really into like how friend networks aggregate. And it just almost like in the same way there are like super spreaders, there's like the opposite, well, maybe the same, but like people who like attract more people to them get more like love and popularity, and then they're just like crushing it.
I feel like those people went on holiday with their friends, the scientists, and didn't tell them what they were doing and secretly did research. They were like, let's all go on a friend's break. And then like, okay, I see what's happening.
What if the study was just by like an incredibly jealous scientist? People just like Rebecca because she's hot and rich.
It's literally just the paradox. She's whatever.
She only has more friends because she's rich. And because she's rich, she made herself look prettier.
Every time they get those findings, they're like, fuck! They have even more friends!
And that one scientist is on the other side of the lab like, I told you.
Mm-hmm. Damn. Wow.
That's wild.
I liken it to Flea, who's the bass guitarist from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Has a lot of money, yet will get sent free bass guitars all the time by like companies, and he's like, I can buy these. Like, you don't need to keep piling on. Or the same way that like Tiffany Haddish is in every movie that they suddenly realize, oh, we don't have any black women. Like, people will like pile on to like certain like people, individuals, rather than evenly distributing across the board.
Interesting. That makes sense.
Yeah, that does make sense. Dang. I feel like at one time I was like, yeah, friends. And then I was like, I don't think I want all of these people to be my friends. So let's deselect and let's phase this one out. Because I was like, I seem to be making a lot more effort in some of these relationships.
Is that when you started interviewing all of us a couple months ago?
I didn't want to be unfair about the process.
It's still my friend severance package.
It was a good package.
I think my partner and I kind of have this where she didn't really live in New York before the pandemic. So now that it's like okay to like kind of see people again, she's like, I don't know, you just like know so many more people here than me. And I'm like, one, that like makes sense. Because I've been here for so many years. But two, like, when you see people, you're seeing people who know, like, everything about you. Like, you're, like, bonded at the heart with the people that you see. I'm like, my friends, I just see, like, I see 100 people a day. Like, I see so many people because of what I do for work that, like, yes, I'm always happy to see them. And I'm, like, genuinely smiling and, like, laughing with them. But they don't. They don't know my little secrets. Mm-hmm. I don't. That sounded more insidious than I meant.
Tell us your little secrets, Kate.
You don't know what I've done at CVS.
Now I steal from CVS.
If I had like 400 friends, I think maybe 15 of them know what I do for a living. So like, I understand that. Like,
yeah.
Well, Shump, that fact was as hot as your hottest friend, and it's up to you to tell us who it is.
That's my fact next episode.
Okay.
Okay, I am Sham. Write Shem, it down.
Your fact was as hot as a friend's hangout on the beach in summer when it's like a beautiful day, people are having a few drinks, jumping in the sea, playing volleyball.
People do that?
Yeah.
Sometimes with the friends and family that they were spending time with already.
What? They don't just ask them to record their sets or like edit their video? Holy shit. All right, different summers.
Different summers.
Do I rate it? Okay. Shem, your fact. Here's the thing about your fact. It was hot, and it made me kind of rethink how I move through the world. And it was hot as some hot tamales that I stole. From a store. Let me specify, it was either a Rite Aid, Walgreens, Duane Reade, or CVS.
Take them all down. Take them all.
Deal for Big Pharma.
Yes.
It's a mom and pop Duane Reade.
I'm going to share the next fact. Before I do, I just want to put on the record what you couldn't see off camera when you said, like, change how you like navigate, whatever the way you phrase it. I'm so sorry. Off camera, Shem did a little kick. It'd be like, yay! It was incredible. That's almost exactly what happened. It was the other foot. It was crazy. Okay. My fact, and I, Lord, hope nobody knows this because it's a tiny one. Dogs tell time with smell, with their sense of smell.
No.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So. That's how they don't know. They can't like conceptual. Like they're not like hours have passed.
And they can't wear watches.
And they can't wear watches because of their
too
tiny
expensive
wrists.
Four watches.
They can read analog clocks if you teach them. But so basically, they're not like, oh, it feels like a long time. My owner must be coming home soon. Let me go closer to the door. They recognize that it smells different later in the day, and they're like, oh, my owner usually comes home when it smells like this. Let me go. So
wow.
Basically,
wow.
Like
they were just watching like the light go through the sky, like everybody else.
Nope. They can. The canine nose is so sensitive that dogs can determine the difference between 5 and 6 p.m.
That's wild.
Yeah. And thank you, Swedish researchers, for confirming it's all true. And, it also depends on, like, you smell. And so they can also tell, like, okay, when my sense of smell or, like, when my, how I smell my owner goes down this much, usually they come home then. So yay. So it's just like, wow.
Oh. Wow.
So no owner, they're still telling time. Morning, noon, and night, they all smell different.
Is this how like all mammals tell time?
Nope. Just dogs. They're out
so they know what time.
Dogs
are like, it's dark, I need to hide.
Like, hold on a sec, my friend was there and now they're not. That's wild. Their dogs are, the dogs' noses are so sensitive that they can just, that's how they do it. Wow. Like,
so if you like don't shower for 2 days, does that fuck up a dog's sense of like, what is it, Tuesday? What's happening?
I don't know. I knew I already knew this. I knew this fact coming in and I'm still like, wow, can't believe it.
It's so weird.
But if you tell the dog humans tell time with their eyes, they'd be like, what are you talking about? Like, right. What?
And watches, they're going to lose their minds.
But I like that you just threw in, oh, but you can teach them to tell the time on a clock.
Oh, that was a joke.
Oh, okay. Well, I believed that. I was like, Swedish research, boom.
Maybe they could. You know, I guess I didn't technically read that they couldn't.
I bet pigeons maybe could, because they taught pigeons, like, pigeons can read certain things, so maybe they can.
Yeah. Kate, do you have pets? We have five cats among the three of us.
Wow, that's fun.
That's four, a lot of blood.
I have my, so the first time I ever lived with an animal was with my roommate before Chelsea and I moved here, and she had a cat, and I will say, best roommate I've ever had, worst cat I've ever met. She hated me.
Oh, no.
She hated me so much. The first day that we were, like, alone, my roommate had already left for work, and the cat literally cornered me in the corner of the kitchen, screaming at me like a child. Like, it sounded like a human baby screaming and, like, slowly crawling at me. It was terrifying. I will say, by the end of my time there, she would sleep on my chest while I was watching TV. So, like, we really did come a far way. Uh-huh. But so that was my first time living with an animal, and now Chelsea and I have a dog, my very very first dog, and you know, he's smelling the thyme. He's a cutie. He's great, but yeah, he does have a strong sense of smell, because he'll like. Like, so I got surgery a couple of days ago, and which is making me laugh like a high-pitched Seth Rogen. It, like, kind of hurts to laugh, so instead of my normal laugh, I'm just like, Seth Rogen, and then put it up to, like, an amazingly high frequency. I just want to put that out there. But so I came home, and, you know, I was wearing a shirt and everything, and he just, like, immediately put his nose to where the incision was.
Oh, my God.
And so I believe in the power of a dog's nose. I was like, how did he fucking know? But I guess it just stanks in there.
Like, I smell blood? That's your body inside there.
That was a whole...
He's like, are you fucking okay?
I can see in you.
Put on a lab coat. Scalpel.
Scoobs.
Did you not see Scooby Doo PhD?
Doggy Howser.
Doggy Howser is very funny.
Thank you. Yes.
Round of applause.
Okay, we will stop and take a moment of silence for Doggy Howser.
Chloe, your fact is as hot as a puppy that's been out for a walk and gets home and they're like, look at that water, and laps it all up. It's thirsty puppy hot.
Thank you. That was such a cute descriptor, and then you were like, thirsty very sexual, very quick.
I look appealing to all listeners. I meant it cute, and then I was like, let me play this back in the short version. I was like, what have I done?
Just so everyone knows, the dog is young. She's newly single. She's in therapy.
The three hottest things you can be: young, newly single, and in therapy.
I mean, she's newly single and she's working through it.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow. I'll interrupt this pitch meeting. Chloe, that fact was as hot as, like, New York City in the summer, like, garbage bags on the street, the odors, like, sort of singling up, like, throughout the that aroma wafting. And then, like, thousands of dogs going, ooh, 6 a.m. Like, that's how hot that fact was.
The garbage men are late today.
Thank you. That's disgusting. I just have a question I realized I need to ask the Swedish researchers, which is, like, I bet seasons smell different. So does dog sense, like, big time?
Big time. I'm guessing.
I don't know. I'm Swedish. I'm gonna go home, guys. I gotta go.
Wait, you did this research, is what you're telling us.
Sorry, that you're was the my Swedish dad. Research. My dad, Mr. CBS, also funded this.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
Chloe, that fact was as hot, so smoking hot as a fresh wound on my stomach.
Again, it got weirdly sexual.
Wow, thank you. Wow, I'm honored. Kate, you're gonna give us the next fact, but before you do, we're gonna do a little cliffhanger, and we're gonna hear a little word, some words, maybe little, some big, from our friends.
Since 1998, Stamps.com has been an indispensable tool for nearly 1 million businesses. Stamps.com brings the services of the United States Postal Services and USPS shipping right to your computer. Whether you're an office sending invoices or a side hustle Etsy shop or, third one, full-blown warehouse shipping out orders, Stamps.com will make your life easier. All you need is a computer and a standard printer. No special supplies or equipment. Within minutes, you're up and running printing official posters for any letter, any package, anywhere you want to send. And you'll get an exclusive discounts on postage and shipping from USPS and USPS and UPS. Both of those. Different companies, same letters. Once your mail is ready, just schedule a pickup or drop it off. No traffic and no lines. Cut the confusion out of shipping with Stamps.com's new Rate Advisor tool. You can compare shipping rates and timelines to easily find the best option. Save time and money with Stamps.com. There is no risk. And with the promo code POD, P-O-D, you get a special offer. Good Lord, sorry, I'm very tired. Chloe and Lindsay are in the other room, not helping. With the promo code POD, P-O-D, you get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale. There's no long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in POD. That's stamps.com, promo code POD, POD, stamps.com. You never, and this is their promise, have to go to the post office again.
Thank you, friends. We're back. And Kate, blow our minds. We're
all right.
Freaking ready.
I got a little seasonal, smells like fall.
Ooh.
Okay, my fact is that I looked up why people like the feeling of being scared. And they like the feeling of being scared because their brains already automatically sense that they're not in real danger. So they just experience the excitement of the fear, AKA adrenaline. And then they also like the feeling of that fear passing, and they get a little hit of dopamine when the safety arrives. Isn't that interesting?
That's really cool.
So that's like haunted houses, roller coasters, scary movies, uh-huh, stuff like that. And children have less of a sense of the world and are less used to doing things. So they can get actually scared. And so that's why it might not be as exciting for them. But as they're kind of like growing, you know, that there's that age where kids like really start to crave like being scared. It's because they're reaching that point, ooh, where they know that safety is there, but they're experiencing that hit, and it can actually be kind of addictive. why kids can want to like go to haunted houses or roller coasters, or like, you know, when you're hanging out with your friends and you, uh-huh, kind of like, ooh, what was that? Oh, I heard something, and you're kind of like psyching yourself up into being scared because you're, this part wasn't in the research, but this I related to, and my hypothesis about that is like, because you're creating the kind of story that's spooking you out, you know that it's fake because you're in, mm-hmm, control of it. But anyway, I thought it was cool.
That's really cool.
That's so cool.
I was so scared by trick or treat. When I was little. So Halloween is my mom's birthday. And I knew our next door neighbor should be coming over with gifts for her. So the doorbell rang. And Halloween was like, this was probably when I was like 7 or 8. So Halloween wasn't like that popular then in the UK. So I ran to the door, opened it, and they were like, trick or treat. And I just was like, and then they were like, we're so sorry. We're so sorry. I was like, you're not Auntie Jean. Like, my mom ran in to see what was happening. They were like, we don't need any sweets. Goodbye. I was like, it's her birthday. They were like, we're really sorry.
And they walked around going, which costume was Auntie Jean? Like,
this year's hottest costume.
They were like, boo.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but I love scary movies now. I got past that loop.
I'm like, yeah, everything makes sense. No wonder I don't like all scary movies. I'm a child still. I don't have a full understanding of the world.
I feel like some adults, I'm trying to see where it said it. It said that some adults don't have as good as a sense of like when safety is there. Yeah. So that's why there's people who's like, no, I don't want to see a scared and scare you fucking kid.
Yeah.
And they're probably actually safer in the real world because they have like a high. They would do well as like cave people. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But so this made me think of a story, if you don't mind me sharing.
No, we don't mind.
We encourage it.
Yeah.
Please.
When I was like 6, I think my brain must have reached that point where I was experiencing the adrenaline as like a good thing because I have the awareness of safety. And so I told my dad, I was like, I bet you can't scare me before Halloween. And he took that back. And so one day, it was like a Friday night. My mom was not home or else this would not have happened. And he told me and my brother, he was like, we're going to watch a movie, have some pizza. Go get your like teddy bears to like snuggle on the couch. So I went and I looked for my teddy bear and she wasn't on my bed. What? And I just started like looking all over my room and I couldn't find her. And then I opened my closet and there was a man in a mask holding my teddy bear. And I grabbed my teddy bear and ran so fucking fast. Our house was like one floor, but it had like 3 stairs between the new part of the house and the old part of the house. I did not touch a single thing. I just fucking leaped from one end of the house to the other, cleared it like an Olympic hurdle, and just like was screaming at the top of my lungs. My dad was just like, what? He had hired our like spooky neighbor and hide in the closet and do that. Our neighbor loves doing that. He's like the guy at Halloween on the show. And I just like, that was an example where my brain did not work fast enough to figure out that I was safe.
But even then, you grabbed the teddy bear, yeah, which I think is amazing.
Yeah,
I'm going to be a great parent someday. Yeah. And my teddy bear could actually smell that it was 6 p.m. And she knew I was coming to look for her.
I'm adding a little personal touch where before you grabbed the bear, your little 6-year-old hand just went, bah! And then grabbed her.
Just, I think I had way more flight than fright. Yeah, flight than fright. I'm forgetting this thing. More flight than
you had fight. All the fight. Fright.
I had all the fright.
Flight night.
You had all the fright. So you took flight and did not fight. Boom!
Was your dad just by the TV being like, gotcha?
He was. He was really like, I won the fucking bet, you fucking stupid 6-year-old.
As soon as you were like, and my mom was not home or else it wouldn't have happened, I was like, oh yeah, I have some dad stories. Twice, my dad scarred me with scary movies. He put on first Leprechaun with Jennifer Aniston.
Mm-hmm.
Terrifying, scared me so. And then Resident Evil, the first one. Both of these when I was, I would say under 10 years old for sure. Both of them, I was in our basement sitting with my dad screaming, like pleading like, Dad, please take these off, please.
Oh, no.
And he was like, no, dude, come on. And then my mom, she like eventually both times heard me screaming and I was like, Mom, please, he won't turn them off. I don't know why I didn't just go upstairs, but she was like, Mom, please. I was like, Mom, please. She was like, Richard, are you flipping kidding me? This is a kid. And they've stayed with me since. She was right. I was a kid, Richard.
Your brain didn't know that.
No.
It was.
And to this day, both of those movies scare me so bad. I have not watched.
Yeah.
I haven't watched Leprechaun again. And Resident Evil, zombies just scare. Those movies are the ones that usually get me because I'm like, I buy it.
You're even scared by Friends. Like, just any context, Jennifer Aniston just terrifies you.
There was a moment when her hair got so long in Friends, I felt like she was so close to becoming Cousin It from the Addams Family. Like, it was like so much hair. I was like, just
roasted.
Me, 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 me. And it will make me delighted. Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, my God. Every year around this time, it is October, I say, I'm gonna watch a scary movie every day. And then I remember that I'm like, I'm a little bitch. I'm so scared. But I really, like, I just
love
the
energy. What about Scooby-Doo every day?
Oh, yeah.
You could Scooby-Doo every day.
Like, Scooby-Doo, both live action, of course. and then, like...
The cartoon is too scary.
and then the, what else? Like, Halloween Town, Hocus Pocus, like, those, love it. But I just, like, I love the idea of being the adult who watches adult scary movies.
You can watch them with the sound off, because then they're not scary, like, because like half of it's the sound design and the music, and, like, otherwise it's just someone opening a door.
Ooh, like, what's inside?
This person is walking so slow. What are they doing?
Just put a tap dance track over the walk-in and be like,
just hands on my knees, shaking ass on my thought shit. Dang, are you a scary movie person? I know No, Shem. You are.
Yeah, I didn't used to be. It was the same kind of thing. I could not tolerate it as a child. Mm-hmm. And now I'm definitely feeling those body generated drugs. I like them a lot. I like, I don't really like gory stuff. Mm-hmm. It still, like, grosses me out and makes me feel uncomfortable. But I like a good jump scare.
Yeah. Are you at the level of watching them alone? Because I think I've achieved, I can watch scary movies with friends, I can go home, I can cuddle my cat, and I'll fall asleep. If I watch it alone and do all of that, game over. I'm all alone, and I have no one, and I'm scared.
I am at the level where, so this, I think of these times fondly, but every time I tell someone about this, they feel very sad for me. So just want to put that out there that I'm aware that
I love that I'm about to say setup.
It's a little weird and maybe a little sad, which is when I was like first living in New York, and on Thursdays I would drink a 40 of malt liquor and watch a scary movie by myself. And then after I would watch a good scary movie that I was like really excited to watch, and then after that I was usually drunk enough that I couldn't fall asleep, so then I would watch an intentionally very bad scary movie after I fell asleep. Which, you know, I'm like, oh wow, my 20s were great, and other people are like, you're lonely, dude. You're very lonely.
A movie of you doing that would terrify a lot of people.
I love that. I think that sounds like a perfect night.
Yeah, no.
Okay, I'm glad that's the reaction.
I was like, honestly, do I want to do that tonight? I could smoke weed. I could do that.
We're on speed dial if you need us.
Yeah. I could smoke weed. I could do that. I know exactly where my friends live, and I know they have an extra couch. Actually, I have the keys to. Well, that won't help. I was going to say I have the keys to the one and only Rachel Chada's apartment, but that apartment is also empty. That wouldn't help at all. It would just be probably an even scarier apartment because I'm unfamiliar with it.
Yeah. I don't know the night sounds.
I don't know the night sounds. Mm-hmm. Well, I do know the night sounds thanks to Rachel. There's a man who raps.
So the scariest sound of all, based on what we've heard about.
Terrifying, poor terrifying. Rhythm scheme. The rhymes are all off.
They're all off.
And just that sense of desperation. Yeah. The music industry is dead, dude.
I can't smell time, but I can smell desperation, baby, and it stinks over there. Oh, I'm the host, so I'll do my job. Kate, that fact was as hot as Paris Hilton and House of Wax. Did you... Familiar, unfamiliar? Okay, for those who are unfamiliar, it's a... I would say anywhere from 2008 to 2010. No, it would have been earlier. 2006 to 2009. It was just like a slasher film about a house of wax. And all the house... It was just very creepy. There was a killer. It was the house... The wax figures were melting, so that was very creepy. The house was set on fire. Sorry, spoilers. The house was eventually set on fire. Paris Hilton was in it. And, you know, she's hot.
Okay, I think I have my plans for tonight. Wow.
It's like Madman Two Swords.
It's on HBO Max. 10 out of 10. Do it.
Here we go.
Wow, okay.
I said what I said.
You did say what you said.
It was a really fucking hot fact.
Kate, that fact was as hot as all my gambling debts I've racked up with all the six-year-olds in my neighborhood. They are taking me to the cleaners. I cannot catch a break. These kids are ruthless. But that's how hot your fact was.
Kate, your fact is as hot as that moment of anticipation in a spooky, jumpy horror movie where you know something's about to happen and you don't know what, and then just at that point before it hits you, that build up. Yeah.
Ooh. 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 Speaking of, but like in a good way. Linz, can you bring us home?
I can bring us home. So my fact is... So Amelia Jenks Blumer was an American women's rights advocate, and she did not create bloomers, but because of her strong advocacy for women's rights and changing clothing, the garment was then named after her. And she was also the first woman to operate and edit a newspaper for women.
Okay, multi-hyphenate.
Multi-hyphenate, yeah. She started wearing loose-fitting blouses and short skirts with long pantaloons to protest the heavy petticoats and bone-crushing corsets that women were forced to wear in the 1850s. But she did not create them, but they were named after her.
Can you remind me what bloomers are a synonym for? Is it like
big pants.
Okay.
Big roomy pants.
Okay.
Like... bigger than, like, granny pants.
Yes,
like, just above knee height.
Almost parachute-esque.
Yes.
Okay, yep, got it. I'm on.
Like back. A culotte that has elastic here and you wear onto your clothes. A forerunner.
I'm shaken because I feel like, if anything, they take things away from women after they die. Like, but then she, wow.
So I could become like such a feminist that like bras are renamed Shems is what you're saying. Like there's like a level.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
My Shems are so uncomfortable.
That's loose.
You have to get a strapless Shem. Trust me.
My Shem has gel in it.
A padded Shem.
Okay, so maybe I don't want this.
Welcome to your nightmare.
Boom, boom, boom.
Here's a little hot fact is I think I'm done with Shems.
I haven't worn a real bra in a while. And when I put one on, I said, this isn't for me at all. Been wearing sports bras, but that's like just like a little shirt.
I've been wearing sports bras, but
a little shirt for your Shems.
Sometimes. I've been sports bras, but then sometimes I'm like, you know what? I think maybe nothing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is funny because I have huge boobs. Like maybe I'll just like pretend that I don't know that they're there.
Oh my god!
I'm rocking it shemless. I'm rocking it shemless.
Next time I see you, no matter what you're wearing, I'm just gonna go, hey, no Shems today. And I pray Shem is next to us.
Why did he become a huge men's rights advocate? It's like trying to reverse the flow of this podcast.
I have an actual bra on today, and it's the first time I've put one on to like wear during the day in a long time, and I put it on going, it's fine, I can change it just before we record the midday episode of the podcast. Because I was like, if I don't like this, I'm going to go and change it. And then that was time. Which is probably what's going to happen.
Yeah. I have a maybe totally unnecessary question. Or just like, what? Shem, the way that a lot of people, and this is, I'm asking you to speak for all people without large titties or people who don't wear bras, but also share your opinion. Do you and or do you think others who don't wear bras, like the way that a lot of people feel clearly about bras who wear them, like a lot of men will wear like a tight like tank top and then like a t-shirt over it and then like a suit, like they'll layer like that, like is there a layer where you're just like fuck that, like the equivalent of a bra for people who wear bras,
right? Okay,
does that make sense? Do you hate undershirts? Is what I'm asking.
I have no strong feelings towards undershirts. Okay. There are like. I'm checking my text to see if people with that large titties are coming for me.
Well, that's also me, and I'm not.
We're in one big like message group, and two people don't have iPhones, so it's annoying. There are certain like boxer shorts or briefs or like things like that, which are like less comfortable to wear. Like I used to do a lot of like gymnastics and things like that, and there were things which were like, oh boy, this is like not great. Or sometimes when you're cycling, it's like, oh no. I have a mild understanding.
No, that's exactly what I was asking. Thank you for it. Thank you for understanding and answering.
So what we've come to the conclusion is that breasts are balls.
Whoa.
Wow.
Especially when it's cold.
Did I misunderstand?
No. No, you just summed it up perfectly.
I was like, I've misunderstood.
And I've never edited or released an episode once, but that might be our episode title. Breasts are balls.
Well, that's some really shot through the iTunes charts.
Yeah. I know you're looking at me to do my job, but I don't want to do it because I just want to keep talking about boobs.
What about if you make your rating boob based?
Yeah. Shem, your fact is as hot as.
It's not my fact.
Wait, oh my god.
It's my fact.
Yes.
But oh you gave god. A man credit.
Oh, Linz, your face is as hot. Oh my god. I can't talk. That was gonna be part of my rating, and now I have to go all over the place. Okay, hold on. Let me back up. Beep, beep, beep. Okay. Linz,
I think you meant to say your boobs are as hot.
Linz, mm-hmm. Your fact is as hot as my face feels right now and my titties feel right now, brought up, and I feel silly for saying what I said. I feel so silly, and it's also as hot as any nipples. Nipples are great, except One day I'm gonna meet Nick Jonas and I'll say this to his fucking face. You got weird nipples, dude. You have weird nipples. Every picture of your nipples looks weird, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. But they're looking interesting. And I think he can handle that because he's a white man with a lot of money and a lot of fame and success. And I think it's okay if I say your nipples are weird and we talk about it. Okay, I'm done.
Okay.
It was really hot.
Okay.
Sorry, Shem.
Wow. Okay, Linz, your fact was as hot as my nipples get when I'm cycling in like a button-down shirt. Like, rah, 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 rah. Like it'll just like move there, and then like I arrive at work, and I'm like, "What? Hi! Yes!" And then no one can work out why I'm so upset. I seem mad at myself.
Oh my god!
Thank you. That's hot.
Linz. Your fact is as hot as that women's newspaper off the presses. Just smoking hot ink on that paper. I don't know. I've never printed a
You are selling it. You are selling it.
I imagine a lot of there's like smoke. Because it's not.
A little like. Makes that noise.
And there's like
a steam train.
Yeah. I think it's time to wrap this up in the only way we know how, which is, Kate, we've got to ask you a huge favor. As our guest, we need you to pick the hottest fact of the day.
Ooh,
We're going to recap them, and I want to make it very, very, very clear. You can pick your own.
Mm-hmm.
It has happened before. It will happen again. Mm-hmm. It could happen today. It could be true. We can't tell you, but if you feel it's true, do that. Feel very comfortable doing so. Okay, we will recap.
Friendship paradox.
Dogs smell time.
Bloomers named after Bloomer.
Okay, Bloomer.
Oh, man.
I also found out that the dunce cap is named after someone called Dunce, and they were originally for people who were really smart, and at some point the meaning changed. And I was like, there must be other fun names. And I was like, Bloomer, let's go with this.
Oh, man. Oh.
And then, of course, based on your reaction, mm-hmm. you're like, oh, I'm not going to pick my fact. Kate's fact was adrenaline scary, da-da-da, an incredibly hot fact.
I think we got to go with the friendship paradox.
Wow!
Pew, pew, pew! So the friendship paradox is the hottest friend fact.
Yeah!
And the hottest, richest, prettiest fact.
Wow. Congratulations.
Wow, real 90210 vibes.
Oh. Jesus, I've giggled like no other this morning. Kate, where can the people find you? They're going to want more.
The people can find me at this address. the people can find me at the Kate Sisk on Instagram and Twitter, and you can find me on We're Having Gay Sex, the podcast.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Yes. Truly, thank you so much. This was such a joy to have you.
So fun. Thank you for having me. I laughed a lot. Like Seth Rogen.
Well, what a coincidence. That's our next guest. as always, We Are Trash Comedy. You can find us on Instagram at We Are Trash Comedy. You can find us on Twitter at We Are Trash Comedy. Call us, email us, DM us, see us in person if you know where we live. And I think that's it. Oh, we are part of the Apocalypse Podcast Network. Okay, love you, bye!
Bye.
's for listening to the Apocalypse Podcast Network. For more great podcasts, go to apocalypsepodcastnetwork.com. And remember, every time you support one of our sponsors, you're supporting the podcast you just heard.